Good morning. I'm glad you guys are all here. We are closing out a series today, a teaching series that we began about 4 weeks ago, a series called Real Life. I called the series Real Life because that is the goal of the series. The goal of the teaching that we have been in and that we are in today is to deliver for every person here the real life that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10, verse 10, when he says, I have come that they, that's you, may have life and have it to the full. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Ooh, I like that feeling of that word full, to have it to the full. That is a rich life. That is a blessed life. That is a productive life, a joyful life. It is a full and fulfilling life. And that is what we're in pursuit of today and over the last several weeks, is that fullness of life, that richness of life. And too many people today are living a less than life, right? You're living less than the John 10:10 full life that Jesus came to give, to provide for you and for me. Too many people in this world are living like that. Too many Christians, too many people who claim the name of Jesus are living less than the life that he came to give you. Too many people who are outside of that family, outside of God's family, are not Christians. Too many are living less than lives, regardless of whether you're in the church, out of the church, in the family, out of the family. We're living lives that are marked by dissatisfaction, lives that are marked by unrest, by a lack of joy, a lack of peace, less than lives that lack the victory that comes with that fullness of life through Jesus. So today, we're going to wrap up the series same way we started it, talking about what it means, what does it look like, how do we have access to that life that Jesus came to give us. And we're going to do this by getting into a passage of Scripture that, Jesus is talking to a man who I believe is living that less than life. And he's beginning to see that he has a less than life. And he starts asking questions about what else there is and how he can have access to the full life that Jesus promises. He's having a conversation, in fact, with the Lord, with Jesus. And this conversation is found in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. If you would, please. If you don't have your Bible today, would you follow along on our screen? We normally have two side screens. We had a little damage to one of our cables this morning. So Jared, God bless you, Jared. If y'all don't know Jared Thornton back there, he is the definition of MacGyver. If you looked up MacGyver, now I'm dating myself, some of you that are younger than me, but if you don't know who MacGyver is, Google it, and you'll see a different picture than his, but I promise you, this is the real deal, MacGyver back here. He can put anything together with, a tennis shoelace, a gum wrapper, and a paper clip, right? Isn't that about what it took to put this together? And what? And some duct tape. You got to have duct tape or barbed wire, right? Baling wire, something like that. But anyway, Jared made it work. God is good. He's given him a phenomenal set of skills, and so Jared pulled it together for us. Hopefully, after I've rambled that long, you have found John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If not, here it is. Let's read together what is going on as Nicodemus has a conversation with Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night, and he said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, now this is a man who has not placed his trust in Jesus yet. We know that because he came to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. He's a member of the Jewish ruling council. He's taking a little bit of a risk here. Because remember, the Jewish ruling council are the ones who are out to get Jesus at this point, okay? And so here's Nicodemus kind of sneaking into this conversation with Jesus. And he tells him, first of all, I know you must be a prophet from God. And Jesus replied to him in verse 3, very truly I tell you, No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And the collective question mark rises over everybody's head. How can somebody be born again? And if you're asking that question, you are in good company, because Nicodemus in verse 4 says, how can someone be born again when they are already old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Here we are on Mother's Day, right? Mother's Day. We're celebrating moms and all that the moms in our lives, all that our mom and maybe our grandmothers, or maybe you have a stepmother, or maybe it was just your friend's mom or somebody who really poured into you, and you're celebrating them on this day. You're celebrating the mom who gave you birth and the mom who raised you and poured into you. And we're talking about moms, and we're thinking about moms, and we're honoring moms. We're having brunch for mom today, right? And here's Jesus. As we honor the one who gave us birth, here's Jesus talking to this man, Nicodemus, about a whole different kind of birth. It's a rebirth, a second birth. And if you really stop and think for a second, just like Nicodemus, you've got to scratch your head and say, how can I be born again? What does that mean? What does that look like, born again? And all of you moms, I'm sure are very grateful today that when Nicodemus asked, surely we can't re-enter our mother's womb and be born again, you're grateful that Jesus didn't say, yes, that's exactly what you have to do. 9 months of labor, or 9 months of carrying babies, and then hours of labor and all that was enough, right? Moms, yes, yes. I was present in the delivery room when all three of my daughters were born. It was enough for me. I didn't have to do any of the hard work. I didn't carry the baby for actually 10 months. I didn't do the delivery room pushing. I didn't have to have a needle in my back. I didn't have to do any of that stuff. And one birth was enough for me. I'm sure all of you moms would agree. Once is enough. Once per child, right? Once per child, that's all you get. Jesus, of course, wasn't talking about a physical rebirth. He is talking about being born again in the Spirit. See verse 6. The flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. It's interesting in verse 6 too, if you'll look in your Bibles, let's see if we got it up here, if it came out right. The Spirit gives birth to the Spirit, and the first time you see the word Spirit, it did, it translated over right, we copied and pasted right. The first time you see the word Spirit, did you notice it's capitalized? Look at the second time you see the word Spirit in verse 6. It's not capitalized, right? The Spirit, capitalized, is a proper name, a proper noun. It's the name, right? We capitalize people's names when we write them. That is the Holy Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives birth to Spirit. The little s Spirit is referring to the spiritual center of every person, every man, woman, and child. We all are created with a spiritual center. In the Hebrew, they call it the nephesh. Don't ask me to spell it. I don't know how. But it's nephesh, right? And it's your spiritual center. We call it the heart sometimes when we translate into our Bibles. And we're not talking about the muscle heart. We're talking about your spiritual center. This is what we're talking about here. The Holy Spirit gives birth, gives life to the Spirit that has been planted inside of you, that was put inside of you when you were knitted together in your mother's womb, when God created you. And the Spirit of God gives life, gives birth to the Spirit inside of you. God chose our moms. He chose you ladies to give us physical birth, right? I mean, He gives us life, but He gives us life through you, moms. He chose you to play that role. But to give us real life, to give us spiritual life, God chose His Son. He chose Jesus. He chose to come to the earth, wrapped in flesh, to live among us, to demonstrate for us what real life looks like, then to die a sacrificial death on our behalf, to pay the penalty for our sins, yours and mine, and then to rise again with power over those sins, power over the grave, power over death. And I'm not talking about physical death here. I'm talking about spiritual death, eternal separation from God. Jesus gives us power over all of that. We have a rebirth through him. How then? If that's what it is, how do we have access to this rebirth? How are we born again? If you're sitting in this room today and this whole thing is still very foreign to you, you've got to be asking that question. If you're not asking it yet, you are now because I just prompted you to. How can I be born again? Here you go. Here's how a person is born again. Step one, die. Who's excited about that right now? I'll sign up. Die. Step one to being born again is to die. Check out what the Apostle Paul writes in, actually it's not the Apostle Paul, I'm sorry. Check out Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus is speaking, not Paul, Jesus. And he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. They must take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. Whoever dies to themselves, whoever dies for me, they will save their own life." Also, look over at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This time Paul is writing. Last time Jesus, this time Paul, just so we're clear. Galatians 2, 20. "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live." Whew, that's a powerful statement. Paul says he has been crucified with Christ and he himself no longer lives, yet he's alive and writing this, "but Christ lives in me." Aha. "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me." This death that we're talking about, this death that Jesus spoke about, this death that the Apostle Paul writes about, this is what Christian theologians call dying to yourself or dying to self. It's not a physical death. It's a spiritual commitment to die to your flesh, to die to your will. We'll talk more about that as we go through today. It's being born again in the Spirit. It means following Jesus even to the point of having to die to yourself, to give up, to sacrifice like he sacrificed. Not your body, not your flesh and bones, but to sacrifice, as I said a moment ago, your will. To sacrifice your way of doing life on your own. Let me put it into maybe a little bit clearer picture. Imagine that your life is a kingdom. It's kind of a hard thing, but just picture your life. Everything you do, the people around you, yourself, the decisions you make. It's like a kingdom. Now, every kingdom has only one king, right? You can only have one ruler in a kingdom, one king in a kingdom, right? Otherwise, there's this big, you know, clash and war and all of that. And so there's one throne for one leader, one king to sit on to make all of the leadership decisions in your life. And every one of us is born into this life with the will, the self-will, the fleshly desire to sit upon that throne and to be the king of your own life. Every one of us wants to be the king or the queen, ladies, of our own life. And so throughout our childhood, we push away against authority. We push away against parents and teachers and laws. And we try to be the leader of our lives. We push away against even the leadership of God. We try to define life for ourselves and to live life on our own terms. We fight for the throne of leadership of our own lives. We're born into this desire and we fight for that leadership position, and yet most of us find we're living less than lives. We're not living that fullness of life we desire. That's why we're still fighting for control. We still think if we can do it our way, if we can do this thing or that thing or have this or that woman or that thing or that job or that money or that position, then we can have the full, but we're fighting for the fullness. We've not yet been able to lead ourselves into the fullness of life. See, that's what the Bible calls our flesh. It's these patterns of living that we have established in leading ourselves. When the Bible talks about the flesh, it's either talking about muscle, bone, sinew, right? Flesh, or it's talking about this pattern of living that you've developed in leading yourself. And when it says that we have to die to the flesh or die to our own will, die to ourselves, that's what it's talking about dying to. It's talking about putting away, putting behind you, submitting your will so that you can follow Jesus. Jesus says we got to crucify that flesh. We've got to put it to death. That's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. We can go there right now. Galatians 5, 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, the followers of Jesus. That's the only way you can follow Jesus, is to die to yourself, to crucify your flesh, to deny your passions and desires, to lead your own life, to be the king or the queen, the ruler, the Lord of yourself, and to let Jesus do that for you. Powerful stuff. Most of us don't want to die to ourselves. Most of us don't want to deny our flesh. Most of us, even when we want to, we struggle to. It's hard. It's hard to get off that throne. It's hard to give up the power. It's hard to give up the authority. It's hard to give up the unaccountability of leading your own life, doing it your way and on your terms. But that is what Jesus says it takes. We've got to vacate the throne. We've got to die to ourselves. We've got to put to death our will. You've got to put to death your way of living without Jesus. And you've got to open up the throne in your heart, in your nephesh, your spiritual center. You've got to open up that throne and invite Jesus in to sit on that throne, to take his rightful position as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, as the Lord of your life, the leader of your life. And you've got to submit to that authority and follow him. When you do that, when you open up your heart and you invite him in, he says that he fills you with his Holy Spirit. Now remember what we said earlier, flesh is born of the flesh, but your spirit comes alive through the Spirit of God. That is that moment when that Holy Spirit fills you, when you get off of the throne, you walk out of the throne room, you throw open the doors, and you invite Jesus in. He fills you with the Holy Spirit of God, and in that moment, because of your faith, that Jesus is who he says he is, God, and that he does what he says he will do, forgive your sins and bring you real life. Your faith step to throw open those throne room doors and to allow him in, you're born again. He fills you with the Spirit of God and you have life inside of you. Powerful, powerful stuff. But then what happens to the old me? What happens to my old life? When I crucify my flesh, when I put the old me to death, and I let Jesus live in me and through me, and I have real life because of him, what happens to the old Todd, the old fill in the blank with your name? What happened to that guy or that girl? Where'd they go? Check out 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 answers the question for us, what happens to the old guy? Where does he go? If I could just find where I marked 2 Corinthians 5, 17, I would be there with you. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is a Christ follower, places their faith, their trust in Jesus, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. What happens to the old you? The old you is dead and buried. Again, not physically, but spiritually. The old way, the old will, dead and buried. Now, don't misunderstand this. Don't make a mistake about this. That does not mean you will be free from your flesh. You will still have your own will. You will still have desires to do life your own way. You will still have moments where you will usurp God's kingship in your life. That means you'll kick open the doors to the throne room. You'll run inside. And you'll tell Jesus to get up. I got this one. That's all right, Lord. I know you're good. But I got this one. Right? None of you have ever had any battles like that, have you? No, me neither. Right? Me neither. The Apostle Paul tells us that we should live our lives in a way that we become a living sacrifice to God. And the image that he's painting here, in the Old Testament, the sacrifice, they would bring an animal into the temple, into the altar, and they would sacrifice that animal. And it was a blood sacrifice. Blood would be spilled. They would do a burnt offering. And the sacrifice was complete. A life was given up, right? Paul says we're to be living sacrifices. We're to go in and place ourselves on the altar and stay there, in spite of the fact that there is a dagger hovering above our neck, so to speak, and a fire burning beneath us. The problem with being a living sacrifice, folks, is you can get off the altar. You can climb down when that fire gets too hot, or when that blade gets too close and you're afraid of losing your life, if you're afraid of having to get off the throne, you can jump back off the altar and say, "That's all right, God, I got this one. You get off the throne, I'll jump back on. I will be the king of my life. I will be the queen of my life." And you know what? We battle that for the rest of our lives. There's a process of learning to live by the Spirit. There's a process of learning to submit to the Spirit, of trusting God in every situation. And that's where some of the fullness of life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10 comes from. See, living that full life doesn't mean everything is roses and puppy dogs and butterflies and rainbows for the rest of your life. You're still going to have hard times, battles, trials, challenges. But the joy and the fullness of life comes in learning to trust God even in those moments, to enjoy his presence in your life even in those struggles, to have faith and trust in him to lead you through that in spite of the pain, in spite of the heat from the fire of the sacrifice of the altar that you're setting. Oh man, there's great joy in being refined in that fire. And that's how God defines who you are in him. It's powerful. It's great stuff, this rebirth, this being born again. The old you is dead and buried. The new you has real life. The old you was a slave to sin and therefore destined to a life now on this earth and also in eternity separated from God. A life separated from God now and forever. That's a less than life if I ever heard of one. You were destined to die a spiritual death. We call that hell, eternal separation, isolation from God. Yet, if you've been born again, then you're new. You're a new creation in Christ. The old you is dead, the new you is alive, and you are born into real life, filled by the Holy Spirit, led by God, and that is awesome. That is real life now in this life, and that is real life after your body dies in eternity. That is being in heaven in the presence of God forever. I like that word, forever. You know, in this world, we don't really have forever. We talk about things, oh, I've known him forever, or we'll be married forever. You know, forever is a myth in our lives, except for where it comes to eternity. That is truly infinite forever and ever. Amen. Right? And real life with Jesus, real life in heaven, begins with dying to yourself and being born again through Jesus. Everyone who is seeking real life must go through that transformation. And if you've done that this morning, oh, praise God. Praise God for what he has done for you, for what he has done in you, for what he is doing through you, and for what he has yet to do, because he has big plans for your life, plans that began before he even laid the foundations of the earth. God put you here at this time, in this place, with very specific intent. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, but you can't realize that plan. You can't live that purpose. You can't have that fullness until you submit to him, until you are born again, until Jesus carries away your sins, until he carries away your guilt, until he makes you righteous by bringing life into your spiritual center. Every one of us here has a mom. You're not here without a mother, right? Y'all know that? I mean, biologically, that's impossible. Even Jesus had a mother, right? Jesus, who is God, fully God and at the same time fully, even Jesus had a mother. You all got a mom. Everybody's got a mom. You all are here because your mother gave you birth. God used your mother to produce life, your life. We're all here because we have a mom. Thank God for moms. Thank God for the ones who gave us birth. That's right. Somebody in the back said, amen. Somebody holding a brand new baby who knows firsthand right now, real life, how important moms are, right? Moms give us birth. They carry us. They labor intensely to bring us into this life. And then they work diligently for the rest of our life. Who's in here a mom with children who are over 18 and out of the house? Do they still call you mom? Yeah, they do. Do they, among other things? That's another message for another day. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you. Another message for another day, right? See, being a mom doesn't stop when they're 18, does it? It's an ongoing thing. Do you still give them leadership and advice? Do you still give them love? Do you correct them every once in a while? Try, right? Being a mom doesn't stop when they become 18. Mom is it's a lifetime commitment, a lifetime endeavor. You will always be mom. I never stop calling my mom, mom. I'm 41 years old. Mom's still mom. Some of y'all are older than me. If your mom's still with you, you're still calling her mom, aren't you? Because she's mom. Guess what? Same thing is true with Jesus. Same thing's true with Jesus. Jesus labored to produce spiritual life in you. He sacrificed to produce spiritual life in you. Just like there is pain in the delivery of a baby. I know, I watched my wife get what do they call that thing when they stick the needle in her back? The epidural. That by itself looked painful enough. Right? It's supposed to block the rest of the pain, but I don't even want that thing going in my back. There's pain in the delivery. Jesus endured a lot of pain on the cross. He endured a lot of pain when he was arrested, when he was beaten. Just like your mom and all you moms sacrifice for your children because you love them, Jesus sacrificed for every one of us. He sacrificed hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth, nailed to that crucifix. He sacrificed. But Jesus rose again. After he was dead and buried, he rose again because he never stops being your Lord. He never stops being your leader. He never stops pursuing you, no matter how hard, no matter how fast, no matter how far you run. He loves you too much to just let you go. Just like you moms would never let your kids just run off and do whatever and go and be away. You're always leading, always loving, always trying to bring them in, right? That's Jesus. If you're still seeking fulfillment in this life by sitting on the throne of your own life, You're missing it. You're missing real life. Your mom gave you physical life. Jesus gives you spiritual life, real life, real victory, real power for living. If you have not vacated the throne of your life, isn't it time to die to yourself? Isn't it time to be born again? Not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit of God. Born into real life, now and for all eternity. Isn't it time for that? It's only then that you can live the John 10:10 life. It's only then that you can live life to the full. Let's pray. My Lord and my God, what a powerful message Jesus gave to Nicodemus. What a powerful message he preaches to each one of us this morning. That in order to have real life, we must first die just as he died. We must sacrifice just as he sacrificed. But then we can have resurrected life, real life, born again life, just as he rose from the grave. We can rise into new living, new life with Jesus in us, with the Holy Spirit empowering real life. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for loving us enough this morning to bring us into your presence, into your church, to hear this message preached. Thank you, Lord, for giving us physical life, for giving us moms, to bring us the physical life, to love us, to lead us, to get us ready for real life. But thank you for sending your son Jesus to give us that real life, that spiritual life. To you, in Jesus' name, amen.